Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise and remove your caps.
Oh, say can you see? So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, ere the rockets rocked aloud, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, you are looking live on a Saturday morning, broadcasting live, celebrating the greatest country on the face of the earth. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. It is my birthday. We are live for the 4th of July. This is hour 2 of 2, July 4th, in the year of our Lord 2020. First hour, Whitney Houston delivers. Second hour, Carrie Underwood delivers. Ladies and gentlemen, we are celebrating the broad base known as America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and the good Sheriff Richard Mack is with me. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thanks so much for having me this beautiful Saturday, 4th of July. I love it.
All right, there's so much to cover, so little time. I want to start out with a little I don't know what you want to call it, speech, an article, a little, whatever you want to call it, my daughter wrote.
Essay.
Essay. But she calls it a speech because it was really written to be given as a speech. But you're right, it's a written kind of an essay. And it's really interesting, and I titled it this, Why? Because All Lives Matter. And I want to respond to those who want to, you know, say Black Lives Matter or Indian Lives Matter, or when you start to take that narrative, what you do is you minimize everyone else as you magnify the group in question. So if I say Black Lives Matter, it's an indication that other lives aren't quite as valuable or as important. Or Black Lives Matter if you're a hoodlum, but they don't matter if you're a baby and you're aborted, etc., etc. All lives matter. Life matters. God Almighty is the author of life. With that in mind, my daughter Bethany wrote this little essay, and the good sheriff's going to read it for you. Sheriff?
Yes, thank you, Sam. In the family proclamation to the world, it says, "We declare the means by which mortal life is created to be divinely appointed. We affirm the sanctity of life, of its importance in God's eternal plan. Husband and wife have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. The world has been in turmoil in the last few years, from the coronavirus to the Black Lives Matter movement. You may be thinking, does she support Black Lives Matter? To answer that question, yes, I do. But Black lives are not the only lives I support. What about Native American lives? They have been persecuted just as much as the black community has been. What about Mormon lives? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have been the only religious group to have an extermination order put on them. Do their lives matter? Yes, their lives matter. Wildlife, do their lives matter? Yes, absolutely. God did not put us on earth to fight about it. If my life matters, or if their life matters, or if your life matters, He put us here so we could know that we all matter. It does not matter if I'm black or white or Asian or European. My life matters. Why is our country so upset about a black man's death when we were killing black babies? In the United States, the abortion rate for black women is almost 5 times that for white women. Do these unborn children's lives matter? Yes, they do. Why is this happening? I will tell you why. The United States of America has become a twisted, law-breaking country. We need this to stop. We need to return the United States of America back to God. He needs to save us from the eternal laws that we are breaking. It will not be easy, but it is worth it. Why? Because all lives matter.
When I see that kind of stuff, Sheriff, I feel like, and I didn't read this because I can't hardly read it on air without, you know, it's my daughter, right? So all I'm telling you is when you see that, you get hope for America, the kind of hope the president was articulating, huh?
It is, and yeah, I started to get a little teary-eyed, choked up a little bit reading it. I thought it showed a lot of insight. And how old is that beautiful little blonde girl?
16.
Oh, wow.
She's a junior. She's 16. She's actually kind of between a junior and a senior because our kids go to school and do the 3-year plan. They don't do 4 years in high school. They do 3 years because we believe 4 years in high school is a waste of time. So all of our kids graduate in 3 years, not four. But so she's between a junior and a senior, and she's finishing a couple of classes in her junior year right now over the summer, and then she'll be a full-fledged senior by August. And so she's, anyway, but this is one of the things that she wrote, which was meant to be a speech that she was supposed to give. And this is the topic she chose and how she chose to frame the arguments.
Well, what a beautiful insight. What a beautiful girl.
What do you think, though, when 16-year-olds are saying this kind of stuff, Sheriff, and all these adults are running around and funding the destruction of everything in the name of supposed equality? You look at it and you go, what the heck is going on around here? No doubt it's indoctrination versus real education, sir.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing. I said, it sounds like somebody from our school would have written that, but it's very similar to yours in that it's based on the foundational principles of America, based on God, family, and country. And so, yeah, it showed a lot of insight. Somebody that's paid attention in class, and paying attention to what's going on in the world, and paying attention to her good parents.
All right, there's a lady by the name of Star Parker, who's a black lady, well-known author, speaker. She does a great job. Star Parker, she's a black lady, and she asks the question, can Trump recover and win in November, Sheriff? Now, Star Parker says this, and here's what's interesting. She's a black lady, and she gets it like my daughter gets it. And here's what she says. Freedom is the answer to both the COVID-19 recovery and the racial challenges we face. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and I really like it, though, when leaders in the black community, or I should say leaders in America who might be more dark-complected, actually come out and tell the truth and say, you know, destroying America is not going to help the black community. Tearing down our monuments is not going to help anyone. And we need to stand and fight injustice wherever it happens and continue to promote the Constitution and liberty in America. tearing this country apart is not going to solve anything. I really love it when they come out and say stuff like that. And, I so admire many of them who are doing it, and there are many.
Amen. Now, there is a guy in a place called Eager, Arizona. That's, believe it or not, where Kurt Crosby grew up, Sheriff, my co-host.
Oh, yes, Kurt.
It's Eager, Arizona, okay? And in Eager, Arizona, the mayor there, his name is Bryce Hamlin. And Bryce Hamlin, in my opinion, puts the best argument forward that I've ever heard about masks or mandates or dictates or whatever word you want to use that I have ever heard. So believe it or not, on Neil Cavuto, you're no doctor, says Neil, to rep Andy Biggs. And Andy and Neil literally debated numbers about, oh, you know, there's cases breaking out everywhere and da-da-da-da-da. I don't think the sideshow of a clown question debate about numbers matters. Because when you understand what Bryce Hamlin, mayor of Eager, Arizona, had to say, it puts it all in perspective. I'm going to come back and read a one-liner from his incredible press release from Eager, Arizona, where he says, we're not going to shut down everything. We're going to celebrate the 4th. Okay, he had a one-liner that I want to read and then have the sheriff, Richard Mack, respond to. From the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Hang tight.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled N-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
And you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, and I got a question for you. Will you be among the patriots?
I will.
Amen, sir. Steve Voss, ladies and gentlemen.
You can hear it in the distance. You can feel it in the air. You can tell the time is coming. You can sense it everywhere. You can see it in the faces. All around you see the signs. America is changing. Freedom's on the line. Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand among the brave? Will you heed the call?
Sounds like a song the president ought to have at his rallies, Sheriff.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so here's the press release from Mayor Bryce Hamlin of Eager, Arizona, and he's getting attacked all across the country is why I'm focusing on it. We talked about it yesterday, but basically he's having a 4th of July parade and fireworks and everything else, and they're literally criticizing him. He's saying we're not going to have masks mandated, and we're going to meet, and we're going to have a great time, and we're going to celebrate the greatest country on earth. We're going to do that, and he's literally getting just beat up. And here's what he said. One line. What authority does the town of Eager or any other state or local government have to infringe on the rights of healthy, law-abiding citizens? That's it. Let me say it again. What authority does the town of Eager or any other state or local government have to infringe on the rights of healthy, law-abiding citizens? In my opinion, Sheriff, that's where the buck stops.
That says it all. What a great leader to say such a thing. I mean, that really boils the whole thing down to right exactly where it should be. And I actually thought you were going to go with one of his other comments.
By all means, you're free to highlight it. I highlighted that one, though, because, look, I don't care about debating numbers. I don't care about debating, you know, rising cases. I don't care if you like masks or don't like masks, or you agree or disagree with the science. I don't care if you, whatever crisis of the day you want to highlight, whatever you want to, at the end of the day, I got to ask, what authority do they have to shut down, control, manipulate, violate the liberties of, the freedom of, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of healthy, law-abiding Americans? What authority do you have? And I don't care what they want to do is take us into the arguments about numbers, about cases, about opinions, about doctors, about science, about cops, about whatever. But in the end of the day, what authority do they have? And the answer is none. Because government derives its authority from the consent of the governed. A point President Trump made last night. A point Bryce made in his speech. A point that I'm highlighting right now for the 4th of July. So anyway, that's why I picked that quote, because in my opinion, it's ground zero for the discussion and the debate. You know what? You spout your numbers, Neil. You spout your numbers, Fauci. You whatever. Stop. What authority do you have? And the answer is you clearly don't have any, because we, the consent of the governed, have not given you any authority for those things. And you're belligerently taking authority. And you know what? If you keep it up, you ought to be arrested. Because at some point, you've got an oath of office that you must obey. And the more you violate it, the more I say, look, you're treading on criminal territory now. You know what? You don't have the authority or the right. You don't have the ability to take on power unto yourself that has not been given to you. All right? And so this is serious. So there's my quote from Bryce. You got a quote from Bryce too, Sheriff?
Yeah, amazingly so. I'll tell you what, these two are about the most powerful I've heard from any American, let alone some public official. And it comes from a very small town in eastern Arizona, right in the middle of the state on the east side. Here he says this: my response from the onset of COVID-19 pandemic has been that we will err on the side of freedom, end quote. Wouldn't you love to hear that from your governor, from my governor, from our city mayors, and from all the people dealing with this? Everyone in law enforcement, in the executive branch, the judicial branch, or the legislative branch should all be saying the same exact thing. If we err, we will err on the side of freedom. Completely going along with what Frederick Bastiat said. And he lists, and I needed to have that list in front of me today, I'm sorry. Now, he lists every social issue, every social ill: racism, unemployment, the economy, corruption, poverty, charity, taxes. You go on and on through every list of political ills, social issues, political issues, And what does he say is the solution, Sam? He says the solution is one word, liberty. And that's exactly what this good mayor says. And, man, I think we might be needing to move to Eager, Arizona, Sam.
It's a very small town, and it's all I'm telling you is I commend this mayor. I think he's spot on right. I agree with Frederick Bastier. I agree with but Trump is speaking the same thing, Sheriff. He's saying the same things, and he's doing the same thing. So he had an event last night, an open-air event, trying to be outside so that it's safer, trying to understand and be delicate and everything else. But he highlights it and continues with freedom. And he literally says, listen, they want to destroy everything we hold dear. We have got to be bold. We have got to stand up. We have got to engage. We have got to focus on God, family, and country. President Trump highlighted God many, many times last night. He highlighted the family. He highlighted parents and children and true education versus doctrination. He highlighted the history and the legacy of America. And then he forged into the future and talked about how many incredible things he even talked about Muhammad Ali, But then he talked about the future of America. Now, there are two people that I know that are on the national stage, or the world stage, if you will, that are very positive on America's future. One of them is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saint president, Russell M. Nelson. And I mentioned him because he believes that we're in for a bumpy ride, but hang on. And he really highlights that we have a bright, bright, bright future. Okay, but then President Trump really highlights the bright future. He talked last night about writing the next chapter. And it's up to you and me, Sheriff, and not just you and me personally, but you and me, meaning the whole country. We're going to write the next chapter in American history. Will it be on our knees, not before bureaucrats or communists or socialists, but before God Almighty? And on our knees, will we demonstrate the true repentant attitude and repentant desire in our hearts that God has asked of us? And if so, our land will heal and God will protect us, is his biblical promise. Will we stand together as family, the fundamental unit of society, and define gender as binary as God did when he stated in Genesis, I created a male and female? Will we stand for the fundamental truths of God, family, and then the proper role of limited constitutional government, replete with its checks and balances vertically and horizontally? Will we stand for those wonderful things that put government bureaucrats in a box and say, yes, by our consent, you have a role to play, but it's minimal. It's, sliced and diced in such a way as to make sure that you don't run off the rails. We're going to look at the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and say those documents has kicked off the greatest liberty for the most amount of people in the history of the world. And are we going to celebrate that? Or are we going to turn our back on that, Sheriff? And that's what we really have to decide as a nation right now, sir.
Well, as far as me and my house, we will side on erring on the side of freedom. I think that's marvelous. I think every one of us should be doing the exact same thing. Everyone should be saying that as we move through this pandemic. And if we can cut through the pandemic of corruption to actually get to a solution for this, but we should be keeping that as our motto, that if we err on the side of freedom. And that's exactly what America is based on. That's the Declaration of Independence. That's the Constitution.
Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, the good sheriff, Richard Mack on your radio. We are live celebrating the 4th of July, and we want to take courage and look into the bright future with hope, with faith, and with absolute commitment. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Donald Trump, in a speech at Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, said the nation's heritage is under attack from what he called a far-left revolution.
Angry mobs are trying to tear down statues of our founders, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime in our cities. Many of these people have no idea why they are doing this, but some know exactly what they are doing.
The president's speech was capped off with a fireworks display. He also announced plans to create a national garden to honor the greatest Americans to ever live. The coronavirus pandemic has caused the cancellation of Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. The Midsummer Classic was to take place at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. It's been 40 years since an All-Star Game took place there. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046, 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc., 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492, Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges. Charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
The things that could be done at a drive-thru these days. The coronavirus pandemic continues as we find new ways of doing things in a car.
In America, you can get almost anything in a drive-thru. And now, that includes one very happy spiel. The oath of allegiance to become a United States citizen. As crazy as that seems, this is how the American dream now starts. Immigrants who've completed all the requirements of citizenship are pulling into parking lots from San Diego to Des Moines to Detroit for socially distant naturalization ceremonies. In Albany, New York, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services minted 59 brand new Americans, all from the cabins of their cars. When the coronavirus pandemic put a hold on naturalization ceremonies in March, it left a backlog of thousands of people who had qualified to become citizens but had not been officially able to swear the oath of allegiance, the final step in the often year-long process. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Steve Voss, I still believe.
Sometimes I wonder what this world is coming to. Just turn the TV on, read the morning news. How did we fall so far? How did we fall so fast?
Amen, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, he has blessed this land. There's a lot going on, no doubt about it, and it seems discouraging, but never let it get to you, folks. Get on your knees and pray to Almighty God, and he'll give you courage to stand up and move forward and be part of the solution. All right, there is a couple of things I want to get to, Sheriff. First off, Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel, well-known attorney, for religious freedom. He's the gutsy guy that says, hey, you better stand up for Christian values in America. If you do, I'll defend you. If you don't, I'll sue you. And even when the ACLU threatens to sue, he defends people for free against the ACLU if they're violating religious freedoms. Anyway, the guy's an American hero. Matthew Staver is his name. Anyway, he emailed me. And he emailed me for the 4th of July, and here's what he says. And I think this is important, and I want you to respond to it, Sheriff. The founders were deeply influenced by a Judeo-Christian worldview that gave them great courage to sacrifice everything in order to establish this great nation. They knew that our rights come from God, not government, and that the sole purpose of government is to protect these inalienable rights no matter the cost. As we celebrate America's birthday this week and this weekend, we must continue to protect the priceless gift of our religious freedom and never forget the cost that was paid for it. Matt. Sheriff?
Yeah, the price that was paid, Sam. Lest we forget. Right now we have replaced all of that with a political agenda to destroy the Trump presidency, to make sure that Trump is not reelected. And Sam, I've said it before, I said it last week, I fear for all of us when or if Trump wins reelection, because these thugs are going to do 10 times worse than what they've done now. And it's almost like they're holding America hostage. If you reelect this president, then we're really going to punish you. And that's exactly how I feel, and I believe that's exactly what they're doing. And they're showing us. This is just a preview of what they're going to do if that man gets reelected. And after what he did last night, I believe even more so that he should be. And there's no one else that is fighting for the principle of life in this country more than he is. And so I'm telling you, I agree with President Nelson that we're going to win, but we've got to hold on. And I think that's a great term. Brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, fellow Americans, we have got to hold on. And in this particular case, we have got to hold on to the title of liberty that we were blessed with in 1776, 1789, really, when the Constitution was signed and written. And I'm telling you, Sam, my heart is full. It's full for my love of my country and for the men and women who founded America and fought and died and sacrificed everything for us. But it's also full of concern that we are destroying what God gave us and what God planned for us and his plan for us. And so there's that great dichotomy in my heart, and it's the great dichotomy in our country, and it's the great divide in our country. And I so wish that we would quit using this as a platitude and a political slogan, that we would come together. Maybe we need to rise together. And I feel that way. Sam, you know what we've been all about, but I feel that way about every single American. I don't care what color they are, what religion they are, and I care about every single injustice going on in this country. And we have ignored huge injustices, and it's not racially based at all. It's just a sign of the pandemic of corruption that we have in this country. It's not the system. It's the people that are running it. And we need to have accountability for the people who are destroying the justice system in this country.
I'm going to tell you a little story. And it's from a book called The Book of Mormon. And I know a lot of our listeners are not Mormons. In fact, the majority, by far the majority, around the world are not members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But the Book of Mormon, just so you know, is called Another Testament of Jesus Christ. And it's a companion book to the Bible. The Bible's about the people in Jerusalem, the history and their dealings with God, etc. The Book of Mormon, Another Testament of Jesus Christ, is a historical record of the people in ancient America, folks. And the reason that I bring this up is because one man, Ezra Taft Benson, the Secretary of Agriculture, during the Eisenhower administration, said, you know what, it's the greatest handbook for freedom ever written. And so, you know what, if you want to read the Book of Mormon, it's available for free. ChurchofJesusChrist.org is where you can get a copy free. Anyway, I digress, and I'm not trying to just preach Mormonism on the radio. However, I do want to highlight something really important. There's a section in that book where it talks about these people who became converted to Christ. Their nicknames were the Anti-Nephi Lehis. Anyway, it's a long story, but I'm going to shorten it and make it very succinct for you. These people were so converted to Christ that rather than fight for their lives, they would lay down and die because they didn't want to take up the sword and kill. And so eventually they were defended by their neighbors who loved them. And they then gave subsistence to the armies for the neighbors to defend them. And then eventually they had their children, teenage boys, fight on their behalf. It's a long, complicated story. The point that I'm getting at with all this is these people served one another and loved one another and turned to their God together. They were of two different nations, if you will. You can almost compare it to the black and the white in America today. Or the Democrat and the Republican, or the whatever, divide male and female, whatever fault line you want to find, you can almost compare it to that. And the only solution was for them to be converted wholly to Jesus Christ and let the love of the author of liberty, Jesus Christ, permeate their hearts to the point where they were willing to forgive. They were willing to serve one another. They were willing to put their lives on the line for one another. In so much that they had a tremendous coming together under the banner of liberty and Jesus Christ. And I highlight that story because, again, it really points to the answer. American, I guess it's called the Heritage Foundation, emailed me, and here's what they say, Sheriff. Happy Independence Day. Today we commemorate the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the truths enshrined therein. This is a special 4th of July for us, they say. We have been humbled by your participation and the stories you've shared in our response to the Number Proud American campaign. Now more than ever, we need patriots reminding their communities what it means to be American. Thank you. We encourage you to continue this enthusiasm, gratitude, and activism well past the 4th of July. In the spirit of Independence Day, and then they say we'd like to share a special video with you. But I bring this up because I want to talk about stories. What stories inspire you the most? Either personal stories or stories of our founders? What inspires you the most? When we get back, the good sheriff from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association will rock and roll. We're going to finish up by telling you a couple of interesting stories. And we're going to do it on your radio. And they're going to be very personal. But they're absolutely going to double down in defense of the sacred cause of liberty and our just cause before Almighty God.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, the good Sheriff Richard Mack is with us, ladies and gentlemen. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA, become a member today. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. So, Sheriff, what story inspires you the most?
Well, you know, when you said that, I had so many starting to run through my head. Richard Kirkland during the Civil War. Of course, Washington kneeling and praying. I'm gonna probably have to go back to that one. The Battle of Trenton. The American Army was running away from the British. They were sick. The troops were sick. Many were dying of starvation and dysentery. They had no supplies. They had no food. The only thing they were eating, if they were eating at all, were fire cakes, which is just flour mixed in water. It says cake where you think you're cooking it. Sometimes they would boil it and eat it like a little bit of a mush or porridge. But most of the time they were just mixing water with flour, having very little nutrition and very little substance at all. Washington was begging the men to stay. He was praying for funds from Congress and other people. He got very frustrated with the other founders and other people that agreed with the war and then did nothing to really fund it and help it. And Washington was beside himself. And a lot of the men in the troops were due to get out of the army. He was begging them to re-up. He was promising them money that they were never receiving. And so he brought in Thomas Paine and Thomas Paine's writing, The American Crisis. These are times that try men's souls. And that was read to the men, and the men were so inspired by it that they girded up their loins, and Washington prayed and fasted and came to the man after reading that to them and said, now we're going to cross the Delaware again in this horrible weather on Christmas. The night of Christmas and Christmas Eve, that they were going to march all the way back in there. And on the morning, I believe it was the morning of the 26th, they arrived in Trenton, and the one of the captains wrote that some of the men were naked in every sense of the word. He also wrote in his journal that he saw blood prints in the snow and ice. This was a horrible blizzard going on. Washington almost turned back several different times, but he stayed true to the inspiration that he received from God Almighty. And this happened a lot during the Revolutionary War. If Washington hadn't done this, and you can count that probably 20 times or more during the Revolutionary War, if Washington hadn't done this and continued on despite the horrible obstacles and the huge odds against him and going against the greatest military empire in the world, marching into Trenton, they did a surprise attack because none of the British soldiers or Hessians that were there hired German mercenaries by the British, none of them expected anybody to go anywhere at Christmas, and especially in this blizzard. So they all thought they were fine, that they didn't have to worry about being prepared for any attacks. But Washington taught us all, what do you do when you're sick, when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when you have no supplies, when your backs are to the wall? What did Washington teach us? It's time to fight. It's time to get up. It's time to attack. May we all remember that today. When things look so bleak to us, let us follow that ragtag army into Trenton. And let's do the same today.
I love it, Sheriff. We got a lot of work ahead of us. That's for sure. And I want to highlight one of my favorite stories. There's two of them. One is the Marblehead Regiment. So it's kind of the beginning of the story that President Trump told last hour about George Washington. While they were crossing the river before the 9-mile hike with bloody feet, they crossed an icy river with huge ice blocks coming down the river. And there was a group called the Marblehead Regiment, which is Marblehead, Massachusetts. They were basically seamen, kind of like the apostles that followed the Savior Jesus Christ guys. And they would go out in their fishing boats, and they became tougher than nails and fearless. And these people from the Marblehead Regiment, their whole job was every time George Washington and company would need to run, in my opinion, one of the greatest acts of heroism. A lot of people would say, oh, he ran because he's wimpy. No, he ran because he was intelligent enough to fight for another day and eventually win. But I digress. One of the geniuses of a great general. That's why even with the losses we have in America today, let's take him on the chin and come back and come back and come back, just like General George did. But I digress. These seamen, if you will, these guys that understood the ocean, understood the rivers and understood the water in frigid ice. I mean, these huge ice chunks would come down and just crush your boat into pieces. So they're crossing in the middle of the night where you can't see, these huge ice blocks coming down the river. It's freezing cold. And these men literally ferried troops across the river. And it was an act of heroism and an act of God that even allowed them to cross safely in the middle of winter. And this didn't happen once. This didn't happen twice. This didn't happen three times. These are almost the heroes of the revolution, because the John Glover is the leader's name. I'm telling you, incredible stories of America. The second one I want to tell you about is Francis Marion. All right, there's a book, The Swamp Fox. That's what Francis Marion was nicknamed. He was a crippled dude. He wasn't much to look at. In fact, the military men, when they saw him, they kind of laughed at poor Francis. The guy was just like a little crippled dude. And well, anyway, Francis Marion, nicknamed the Swamp Fox, because when the British went to the South to try to change the game and win, they lost bigger than they could have imagined because primarily of one man, Francis Marion. He was the General George Washington of the South, if you will. But there's a book written about this that details really good, really detailed about Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox, how Francis Marion saved the American Revolution. It's written by John Oller. John Oller. O-L-L-E-R. And John Oller, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, he was a guest on this program. Go look at libertyroundtable.com and search for John Oller. And you'll find that, or just type in Liberty Roundtable John Oller and you'll find the interview. I'm telling you, we interviewed him. It's an incredible book and it highlights one of the great heroes of the American Revolution. The problem is there's too many stories to tell. There's too many things to highlight that are just tremendous about the greatest country on the face of the earth. From the incredible documents, the Declaration of Independence, to the Constitution for the United States of America, to the Bill of Rights, to the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, to the books written by guys like John Oller. Prelude to Glory is another 9-book set about the American Revolution, written by Mr. Carter. Incredible stuff about America that we could never cover at all. But we encourage you to continue this enthusiasm, this gratitude, and this activism well beyond the 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's not just get patriotic for the day and wave the flag and drink a beer. Let's set aside beer altogether and stand without fear, with humility and faith before our God. And let's do what he asks so we qualify for blessings of liberty like our founding fathers did. So the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints president, his name is Russell M. Nelson, and he said this. I think it's very apropos to finish this broadcast with. I've learned that these emotions of fear, isolation, and danger are best handled by immersing one's self in the care of other people. He said the road ahead is going to be bumpy, folks. It'll always be bumpy, but the destination will be serene and secure. So fasten your seatbelts, hang on through the bumps, and do what's right. And your rewards will be eternal. All right? And I bring this up because we as America set aside religion, Catholic, Mormon, Protestant, whatever. The Judeo-Christian heritage of America is the very solution we seek. Okay? Let's not forever learn and never come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's not look in all the wrong places for love. Let's look towards God Almighty. Let's double down in defense of the traditional family. And let's double down on the ideals enshrined in the Declaration of Independence as we celebrate the 4th of July and say, hey, this is worth defending. This is worth my all. The founders gave their blood, sweat, tears, sacred fortunes, their honors, their reputations, everything. I'm afraid it's going to require the same from us in these times. Armies may combine. Persecutions may rage. But we can stand strong for our God, our family, and our country. Sheriff, the final word's yours.
Well, Sam, we've had quite the conglomeration of principles, speeches, quotes, historical inspiration. On this wonderful 4th of July. It's been quite a conference today, a two-hour conference that you've put together. I really admire what you've done today and every day throughout the last 20, 25 years that we've known each other. You've done a lot of talking, but you've done a lot of walking. And you've put your money where your mouth is, and you've always stood in the right place and for freedom. It's an amazing thing that you have accomplished with your family and with your radio show and with your handicap that no one has ever even noticed, especially when they're around you. But more importantly, you've stood for the three things that we all hold the most dear. I pray to God that he will bless us to be as strong as you have been in this fight and in this movement for God, family, and country.
And thank you for your kind words, but it's not about me, but I hope to do my little part to show how grateful I am to the Founding Fathers, to all those who have fought for the sacred cause of liberty. It's kind of like the body of Christ You don't say to the finger, I have no need of thee. You say we all do the best we can and do our little part. And you know what? If we do our best, the Savior Jesus Christ, he promises us we'll take care of the rest. The atonement is key. Repentance is key. Forgiveness is key. And then getting up and doing all that we can to be in the service of our fellow beings is the answer. For Sam and the Good Sheriff, God save the Republic of the United States of America. Happy 4th.